the streaming pavement by a single blow, while above him, chunks of hot metal sang off the walls. Shaking his head to clear it, Ryan scrambled to his feet. The lead APC lay on its side, blocking the middle of the tunnel. The track on its left side had been blown apart. Fire boiled up from inside the passenger compartment. A pair of undamaged headlights cut tunnels through the spreading smoke. Nara was already moving, if stiffly. Blood leaked in a trickle from her nose and ears. Dam grabbed Ryan by the arm and pushed him up the ramp after her.
We've got a little bit of space. We've got to make the most of it.
He said nothing about the other three Mercies, the ones who had been bringing up the rear, the ones his satchel of high X had blown all to hell. Dam gave Ryan another shove.
Go!
The one-eyed man headed for the wall of fog that lay across the tunnel, 50 yards ahead. Behind and below them, powerful engines roared, and there was a grating sound as one of the intact APCs tried to push the overturned vehicle out of its way. Ryan felt as if he had a couple of bags of wet concrete in his chest, dragging him down. He could barely lift his feet, and he wasn't the only one who was slowing down. With the fog still a good distance away, Dam and Nara were fading fast too. None of them was going to make it, he could see that. Before they reached cover, before the APCs even got close, they were going to collapse and die. Unable to go another step, Ryan put a hand against the wall, bent over, and vomited green slime. Nara was right there by his side, helping him back up. As he straightened, Dam gave him a hard shove, pinning his back against the wall. Ryan opened his eye and saw that the Mercy had something gripped in his fist. Protruding from the heel of Dam's hand was a bright needle, as thin as a hair and 3 inches long. He wielded it like a killing dirk in a downward stab. There was no way Ryan could deflect the blow. He gasped as the full length of the hypodermic pierced his chest, driving into the hilt. He gasped again as Dam thumbed the plunger home, as fingers of fire squeezed his wildly beating heart. The lights went out for Major Oswaldo Lujan, and as they did, a stunning impact hurled him against his shoulder harness. Plunged into darkness inside his APC, all of his external sensors blacked out, the Major unleashed a ferocious string of profanity. He'd been buried under a mountain of slime by a sweep of laser fire from the kidnapper's van. Still cursing, he rocked the APC back and forth, shifting from forward to reverse, grinding a little more breathing room and a little more, until he could finally reverse his way out from under the smothering heap. With his optics cleared, he saw two of his APCs already diving into the darkness ahead. The other vehicles had been caught in the trailer's explosion. Overturned and buried by slimefall, they were out of the picture. How much explosive had gone off, he could only guess. The blast had collapsed the ceiling on top of the crater where the trailer had once sat. There was no sign of it or the tractor that had pulled it. He should have guessed the bastard would pull something like that, Lujan told himself as he roared after the others. The Mercy had a history of desperate escapes that bordered on the suicidal. Laser cannon fire lit up the terrain ahead, and as Lujan approached the mouth of the tunnel ramp, he saw that there was still plenty of opportunity for him to make amends. The ruined van sat empty, covered in drapes of slime. The man from Shadow World and his surviving kidnappers were on foot. Lujan checked the elapsed time since the trailer explosion. 3 minutes. Inside the black helmet, a fierce smile lit up his face. Add 3 minutes to the time the Mercs had already spent in Slime Zone, and what you got was torpor, fading rapidly into death. One way or another, the story was going to end real soon. Throttle pinned, Lujan fought to catch up with the other two APCs before they reached the tunnel. It was impossible, they had too big a lead. He had just entered the foot of the ramp when somewhere above, the bomb blew. The tunnel was lit by hard white light and rocked by an awesome thunder crack. A fireball devoured the lead APC, rolled over the second vehicle, and kept on rolling down the ramp. The Major met it head-on, and it passed right over him. More surprises from Dam. Lujan's route was now blocked. He waited until the second APC shoved the burning hulk far enough to one side for him to scrape past, then he drove around the wreck. He stopped when he saw all the bodies strewed face down on the ramp. The Mercs had been killed by their own explosive. Between the bodies and the condensation layer, there was only wet concrete. He shouted at four of the APC's six-man crew.
Out! I want to know if Shadowman is among them. Double time!
From the driver's seat, he watched as his men hurriedly turned over the corpses.
Not here, Major. He must be up ahead. Dam's not here either.
Luhan gunned the APC's engine, and without waiting for the men to climb back inside, started clanking up the tunnel. When he accelerated away from them, toward the condensation layer, his crew realized he wasn't going to stop. The other APC pulled around the wreck and followed the Major's lead, rushing for the wall of mist. Luhan's crew had to jump on the outside of the trailing vehicle or get left behind. Dr. Huth faced the conference room's video screens and the assembled CEOs of Five. As he looked from screen to screen, he saw that they were all very upset, even infuriated with him. They demanded an explanation, knowing in advance that no explanation from him could suffice. He angled his body so the overhead camera could pick up the scorched back of his lab coat and the wad of bloody bandage at his nape, and transmit said injuries to those who glared at him. The CEO's expressions didn't change. If he expected any sympathy for a close brush with death, he was looking in the wrong place. Huth was glad to be behind the secure walls of the Totality Concepts complex, and at least momentarily out of the reach of Five's tactical units. In the meantime, the best defense was often a good offense. In this case, it also happened to be the truth.
This incident wasn't in any way my fault. I didn't organize the transportation or the security for Ryan Cawdor. You people did. I didn't advertise the potential of Shadow World on the Tellus for weeks, nor did I participate in the decision to plaster Cawdor's face all over the megalopolis. You did. I didn't plant the seeds for what happened today. You did.
He paused to let the weight of his accusation sink in.
All I am guilty of is surviving the attack.
Are you quite through, Dr. Huth?
He wasn't through, but the disinterested and impatient tone of voice of the auburn-haired woman from Omnico made him reconsider an extension of his rant. Obviously, he'd scored no points with the frontal attack. If he continued, he might be making things even worse for himself, although it was hard to imagine that. She resumed speaking once he closed his mouth.
Good. Now, kindly rerun the abduction scenario for us.
Huth nodded, relieved to be on solid, factual ground.
We'd stopped on the freeway because of the carnophage sirens. Without warning, we were rammed. Then explosives were set off under our vehicle. The explosions disabled the APC and set it on fire, so we had to abandon it. I never saw any of our attackers. I never saw what happened to Ryan Cawdor or to Captain Jurassic or the security team after they got out of the vehicle. As I made my own exit, the APC was hit by a rocket, and I received some, thankfully, minor injuries. Do you know what happened to the others?
The CEO from Invecta was the next to speak.
We found the bodies of some of the security force in the middle of the freeway. The man from Shadow World and Jurassic remain missing. They vanished without a trace. We are still interviewing the few witnesses we have managed to gather up, but from all accounts, they saw about as much as you did.
The man from Mitsuki added an opinion.
I think we have to assume that Ryan Cawdor is going to be held for ransom. There's no other reason for his having been taken by force like this.
Of course, Huth thought, there was at least one other possible reason, and they all knew it. Cawdor might also be being held to gain advantage. One global trying to get the jump on all the others by accessing on an exclusive basis the information in Shadow Man's head. To speak the words, to make the public accusation, was to let 10,000 devils out of their box. It was something none of the chief executives were prepared to do at this point. The white-maned man from Hutton, Byram Kobe, posed a question.
Has anyone received a demand for payment?
For a long moment, no one replied. The CEOs just glared into the vid cameras. Huth wondered if, out of sight of the lenses, they were digging their fingernails so hard into their palms that they were making them bleed, or stabbing themselves in the thighs with blunt letter openers. He sincerely hoped so. If any of them had received a demand, they would never admit to it to the others. And they would have already paid the ransom. Gladly.
I have received no such demand.
The woman slapped her desktop with an open palm. Though her head moved, her hair didn't. It was as stiff as spun fiberglass. The man from Questar added his denial.
Nor have I.
One by one, and with equal vehemence, all of the CEOs replied,